Don't you get me up here and you surprise me if I did anything, what y'all gonna do? And y'all let, do I need to leave?
We're not gonna impeach somebody.
Okay. Amen, hallelujah. You know, talking about that song, cares, who cares for us? Who does care for us? Jesus. He cares for us like no other individual ever will. And I thank the Lord that he does provide for us. He gives to us what we need. And not only that, if we stay faithful to him, he'll throw a little want-to in there too. And I believe when he throws his little want-to in there, he says, I can do above what I say I can do. And he can. He can do all things. Thank God for that. And we can, you know, not only that, we can do all things through Christ to strengthen us as we go about doing what he asks us to do. Now, I'm going to try. I wish the Lord had brought it to my attention a while back. I'd have tried my very best to start one. But I don't even know if even this area around here can even plant one, and where with the weather and everything, if it would even live or not. But if not, I'm going to try to find a picture of one. And that's the mustard seed plant. Well, we can look at that plant and see how tall that plant will grow. And see how sturdy that plant is. And within that thought tonight, we can look at that in a way to where we can be the same way. We can grow higher and higher and higher than we ever want to go. And I believe with the Lord's help, there's nothing that we as individuals can face that we won't end up being victorious about it. Because I don't know about you, but I done something that I was taught not to do in school, which, and I reckon it's the reason that I didn't really get a chance to graduate from regular school. I had to go back and take it later. But I finally got my diploma, but I was 52 before I got it, but hey, at least I got it. But you know, it's nothing impossible with God. And everything is possible. And we have to have that concept that we must look at the day ahead of us. As we go through the day, we must look at the remainder of each and every day that we go through. So we know, God, there's nothing impossible with you. And I believe if we would have that type of desire in a heart, that I honestly believe that 2015 could be one of the greatest years you've ever seen. I mean, I'm going by scripture and I'm going by what the Bible has taught down through the years, but you know, back in 1948, that's when Israel became a nation once again. And they had been without a country, that was without a city, that was without a town that they could call their own for so many years there. But in 1948, and I believe it was May the 11th or May the 12th or somewhere around now, is when they become a nation once again. When they became a state once again, and people would look up to Israel. The United States had feared, and they have stood behind Israel all these years. And I believe if we go back and we will read Matthew chapter 24, if we'll really read it and try to take each word and we'll search it out, go back through scripture and everything, that we can see where not only was Israel had come back into its rightful place, in its rightful state that they was once in, but I also believe this too, that Israel, and you know the fact about Israel, that everybody today is talking about Israel. The United States is talking about Israel more. All the other countries are talking about Israel more than they probably ever have in their existence. But the reason they're talking about it is because of Scripture. Because of what is written here in the Word of God. And we see right here in Luke chapter 24. And we see right here where it's speaking about the parables talking about the Great Supper. Well, you know, we've got to get past the 70 years from the time that Israel became a nation, by the time Israel became a state once again, there's 70 years that have to go past. Because in God's word, numbers always mean something. And the number 7 in the Word of God means perfection. It means completeness. And you take the number 70, it also means the same thing. That God is going to be on the scene and he is going to complete his duties that he has so been looking for so many years. But God, when God sets something forth, he has to let it ride out. He has to let it go to where he says it's going to go to. Because he will not change it just because he wants to change it. Because if it's in Scripture, he's going to go by what he has said in Scripture. You say, well, why would he do that? Why does he do things like that? If he wants, you say he's God, he's everywhere, he can do anything he wants to. You're right, he is. He's God. He can do anything he wants to. He can change an individual's heart from wickedness, from hard-heartedness, to the softness of a peach. And it can change that heart to where that heart would be mellow. And it would be filled with love and compassion towards people. Yes, God can do all of that. But God will not go in there and change Scripture. Because God says, it must come to pass. And we have to realize it has to come to pass. Now we know in the book of, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 3 it is, or no, chapter 2, is speaking about the perilous times. It's speaking about the times that we're going to, the things that we're going to go through. And I'm not here tonight to bring no gloom and doom down on anybody. But I'm going to read you scripture and what it says. This is the word of God. That God has foreordained for the people to see where he stands and where he takes place. But here, no, 2 Timothy, excuse me. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Now, I'm not here tonight to bring doom and gloom to you. What I want you to understand tonight is what we need to be doing to where we can get as many people in and hearing of the Word of God that they may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they can have their name written there in the book of life and be so enthused about it that they will not have to go through these things. But we all going to go through them, but we have got a better day coming. We've got a better day coming. It says right here in chapter 3, in 2 Timothy, says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. What does the word perilous mean? It means troubles on every hand. It means everything that's going to come about, we are not going to understand it. But we must trust God. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men are going to love their own selves, and women are going to love their own selves. Individuals are going to love their own selves before they love the mother, before they love the father, before they love the kids. All of that is secondary. And God is nowhere to even be thought about. But they're going to love themselves like, it's nothing but me. It's all about me. And I'm going to get what I got. I'm going to get what's coming to me. We can see that today with all the riots that's going about. Now, we've been, this country right here, has been in riots since the day that, even before that, but it's been more prevalent since the day that Martin Luther King come on the scene. But they need to realize some things, that Martin Luther King was not the man that they thought he was. And I don't understand why they want to continue to always say it's racist. It's the whites against the black. I don't understand none of that. I don't understand why they say that. You can go out here and you can take a Mexican that is born in Mexico. And they're right here in the states of Virginia or the United States. And they're over here working to make a living for themselves and for their families. But before anything else comes out of their check, before they even get anything themselves to work so hard for it, They're going to take and they're going to make sure that they send enough money back to their own country, to their families, to take care of the families, because they want the families to be able to come to the States. But yet they have not come to that point to where it's all about me. And I don't like this, what they say about the colored, they're African Americans. No, you're either American or you're African. You're either Chinese or you're American. You don't hear all the others say, well, I come from Mexico, I'm a Mexican American. I'm a French American. I'm an Italian American. No, it's always about themselves. And don't get me wrong, I'm not prejudiced at all. My word tells me that I must love them. I must love them just like I love you. But don't force something on me that I don't have to have. But that's what they're doing. The government has got so into the government itself. They talk about the separation of church and state. The government don't understand that, the separation of church and state. The government itself won't separate their own selves from the church and state. Why? Because they want what we got. But they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to get it. They said, talk about wars and everything. Hey, war, the Bible speaks of wars and rumors of wars. The Bible also speaks about peace too. But this country, the United States, this world will never see peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. And when he comes back, he gonna set up his kingdom right here. And when he does, that's when peace is gonna take place. And we can live in harmony. And we can live with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we can go a little further than that. We can say God's word has promised us that once we go home, then heaven. And the reason we're going home to heaven, we're going to home to heaven to see what heaven is all about. Because we have read about heaven. We've read about heaven, and we've read about what heaven is really like. But see, we don't know what heaven is really like. We've never seen heaven. We have never went in. We've never went through the pearly gates there of heaven. But every believer that's been saved by the grace of God is going to go to heaven, and we're going to see what has there at our fingertips, heaven. And what we've been looking for, and what we've been praying for all them years, and what we have worked for, and what we have tried our very best to get other people to understand that that's what it's about. It's not about me. It ceased to be about me. It ceased to be about me the day that I got saved. Well, how come it ceased to be about you the day that you got saved? Well, it ceased to be about me the day that I got saved, because from that point forward, I knew where I was going. I knew one day I'd see my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. But I didn't know how many of the others is going to be able to see Him. And I didn't understand why the others don't have the same joy that I had. The same God that I serve
And the same Jesus that brought me into his family and saved my soul. And the same Holy Spirit that brought conviction unto me that I would accept what Jesus had done. Is the same God and the same Jesus and the same Holy Spirit that's going to do the same thing for us. We're not going no other way. We're going by the blood. That's the reason he went to Calvary. He went to Calvary and he shed his blood for me and you. The whosoever will. Have you ever been out and have you ever talked to anybody and went over there and said, well, I want to show you something here, right here in John 3:16. And I want to read it to you. I mean, I can quote it. About the only verse that I can quote. But I want to read it to you. And this is the way I present it to the people. And to the sinner that I go and I witness to. It says, for God so loved the world. Who did God love? The whole universe. He loved all of humanity. He loved just the white. He loved just a few of the white. A few of the black and a few of this and a few of that. No, he loved all. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only one son. Not no two or three. As they want to portray today. Only begotten son that Bill Huff believeth in me. That's what the whosoever is. That's what the whosoever means. That's what it means. It means that the we need to realize we can put our name right there. In whosoever. And he promises us with that whosoever, he goes a little further and he says that we'll not perish, but that is a statement from God, but you'll have everlasting life. Everlasting life. What's the difference between everlasting life and eternal life? There is a difference. There's a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. And thank the Lord that we have both. We have the everlasting life and we have the eternal life. The everlasting life is that we're saved by Jesus Christ, who had an earthly mother but no earthly father. We also have eternal life because the only begotten Son of God had a heavenly Father, but no heavenly Mother. And when I saw that, that one day, man, I thought, that everything was just going to blow up around me. The house, the roof was, I looked up and I could feel the breeze. I said, well, where's the roof at? Got to be a breeze. It's a breeze coming somewhere. That's when my wife was working. I'll tell you something. Think about that. We serve a Lord and a Savior that has an earthly mother, but no earthly father. But has a heavenly father, but no heavenly mother. We know that where the dove came down, we know where the dove came and flew upon her Mary's shoulder that day.
And that's when she became with child. But going back to what Israel is, all these things has got to come to pass. We've got to get to heaven. We got to see the beauty of heaven. And after we see the beauty of heaven, it's not going to be long before we're going to all leave heaven and we're going to come back to this earth.
And we're going to be riding on a white horse. Yeah. That's one thing I loved doing when I was growing up and when I went out to my grandmother's on the weekend. I didn't think an individual's first name, but his last name was Pondexter. And there on the farm, right above my grandmother's house, he had three or four, sometimes five horses up there that my uncle let him use the pasture up there and the barn up there to house his horses. And we're on Sunday and Saturday. Anytime he come out, we'd always go riding with him. And I love riding horses. And I haven't ridden one in a long time. But I'm going to ride on another one. You mean we're going to ride a horse from heaven? Yeah, we're going to ride a horse all the way from heaven to here. Brother Roy Newton was telling me that he went to the doctor one time and he always talked to him. I always try to talk to him about the Lord and stuff. And then he said one day, this doctor asked him, he said, "I want to ask you something." He says, "I know that you're a Christian." And he says, "I'm a Christian also." He says, "But I want to ask you something." He said, "Where it says over there in the book of Revelation, where it's talking about where Jesus is going to be on the white horse. And we're going to be on a white horse also riding with him. You mean we're all going to be riding a white horse?" Brother Roy said, "Well, what's the scripture say?" He said, "Well, the scripture does say riding a white horse." He said, "Well, that's the only thing I can tell you is what the scripture says." He said, "You mean out of everything that the United States has come about, all of what Russia's done and all of them over there, and all these missiles and Sputniks and all these rockets and everything they got here, you mean they're going to ride from heaven back to earth here on a white horse?" He said, "Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something." He said, "It ain't going to take but one gallop. One gallop, we're going to be here. One gallop, we're going to be over there. And that's where it's going to be." But yes, we come in. I believe this Bible is literal. And what it says, it's what it says, is what's going to go and what it's going to be. We know it because we've seen where the hand of God has moved.
in certain ways down through the years. Now, your grandmother, your grandfather, your daddy, your mother, that's not here with us today, they are there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've heard people say,
they know what's going on. Why? Because it tells us. Oh, in the book of Hebrews, where they're hanging over the balcony of heaven, looking down on each one of us. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for, like he said in the book of Luke, they're also praying for us. I've got a godly grandmother. She's over praying for me each and every day that I will continue to stay the course. I got a mother-in-law and a father-in-law praying for me when majority of the people say, yeah, I know what she's doing. She's just waiting for you to get back home, get your daughter back home. And they're going to scare you to death. No. They're going to scare me. They're going to scare me with the word. They're going to scare me to the point to where either the devil had to go or I was going down.
But in talk, going back to Israel now, we know that in God's word, the seven is perfection. And we know that in the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel, that they speak of the 70. 70 years, 70 weeks, 70 days. What that is speaking about is the coming of the Lord. That's what the 70 weeks about. That's what the 70 days is about. That's what the 70 years is all about. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that our time frame, time that we look at, is not the same time that God looks at. And I'm thankful for that. Because if God's timetable was like our timetable was, it wouldn't have been many that would have been saved. Why? Because our timetable is a whole lot shorter than his timetable. But see, his timetable is in the thousands of years. Ours is just in days and months. But it says right here in Timothy, we'll finish reading these verses, and then we're going to go home. You say, preacher, I've heard that before. Well, I promise you, we're going to go home. And I'd just soon leave here tonight and meet my daughter in the air and go into my heavenly home for a little while. That I'm coming back. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. But he does promises us this. The ones that's been faithful to him, he says that he's going to allow us to be rulers over certain things. And if we cannot be rulers over certain things, we're going to still be serving him. But can you imagine the United States of America and this world that we're living in? And what it's been going through and what it's faced. Can you imagine that it's just been purified by fire, and then God's people come back on the scene where new growth come forth from the ground and the new people will be here. I tell you one thing, I'm looking for him to come back any moment, any day. For the men shall be lovers of their own selves, covenant boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy. Ain't that what we see today? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, in continuance, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, learning all the wickedness and all the evil and they cannot come to the truth. They cannot discern between a truth and a lie. But you know, I believe people today, especially young people, I believe they're crying out. Some people say they're crying out for attention. They may be. But I believe that they're crying out for not just the attention, but they're crying out for the truth. Because you take a young person, like the age of as young as Catherine and JoJo. You can go up to them and ask them, say, are they a phony? Are they the real thing? Hey, they're not embarrassed about saying what's on their mind. They say, yeah, they're real phony. I'm going to tell you one thing, but he is about as phony as they can. They know.
And you know what I like more than anything about it? A young, small child? Is it two of them can get together, if it's a brother and sister, or if it's two or three others get together and they can start fussing at each other, start fighting, start pulling high at everything. And they'll get over the corner and they'll pout. And they'll may pout for a minute or two. But in the next minute or two, they over there hugging, they over back over playing. I mean, that's what, but you take a grown up. They get up and start pouting. Woe unto the young. And woe unto us. Because they continue on pouting. And they won't let it go. We don't need to pout. Now, and I'm going to ask, I mean, really, I'm going to ask you now. Do you, I mean, starting next Sunday, being the first Sunday in the year, do y'all want me to see if I can't get a case and bring them, put them in my office or whatever, a case of a pacifier? Now, I'll do it. All I have to do is say, yeah, you need them. But you never know. I don't never want to have to get out and give a pacifier. But people today are so, I don't know. Oh, me. Well, I tell you, I just don't want to quit tonight. But I know I need to.
Don't y'all come back
Wednesday night. And yes, and we are gonna have regular services Wednesday night. So y'all come, invite somebody to come. Never know. Just invite people to come. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us, and thank you for the words that you give us tonight. Lord, we know that you care for us, and know we know, Father, there's certain things that has to happen. But, Father, we're so thankful, God, that we can proclaim that you are our Savior. But not only our Savior, but you are our Lord. And I thank you for being not just my Savior, but also being my Lord. Because I believe when we ask that you come be the Lord of our life, that's something where it becomes personal to each one of us. Now, Father, as we separate ourselves from each other tonight, Lord, that we would never be separated from you. And Father, we will never be separated from the love of the people and the love that you have toward us. We just want to thank you. Want to praise your name and what you're going to do next year. We know that, Father, there's greater and better things for us.